Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
But Mr. Addisbury, I'm fully aware that you only married me to save me from the scandal. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude and I see my duty plain. Her eyes were cast modestly down towards the hands in her lap and she didn't see the sudden convulsive movement the vicar made by the mantelpiece, staring into the fire. I will do my best to be a most conformable wife and never give you cause to regret your sacrifice. Sacrifice! Margaret, oh Margaret! Two swift steps from the fire and he was on his knees before her. Margaret, forgive me. I never married you to spare you scandal. I was glad, glad, I tell you, to have the chance to offer anything to one so far above me. I was selfish, only, though I cloaked it in fine words, I wanted you, only you. Her eyes flew up wide to meet his. Suddenly they were breast to breast, all doubts cast aside. Oh, Mr. Addisbury, call me Pericles. Oh, Pericles. Oh, Pericles, how foolish I have been, my love, only as foolish as The Gargle. This is The Gargle, a sonic, glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. All of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle.
Hello.
Boo, boo, boo. And boo, 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 and John Luke Roberts.
Hi. Is that what that's what we're doing now, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're impersonating chicks.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah, but before we beatbox down and get into the rhythmic rhythmic rap battle that is this week's top story, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover of this week's magazine is Harry Styles posing provocatively with his own controversial hairline. Which has been making news in the last few weeks, Harry Styles' hairline. I don't understand why it's such a scandal that he may or may not be balding. To me, I don't really understand balding as an unattractive thing. To me, I like to think of it as a slow-motion skull striptease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful way.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they put balding people in bars and, you know, people get entertained.
Just get a nipple tattooed in the very center of your skull and wait for it to slowly be revealed and then start saying, my eyes are down here.
But what if you end up just ravaged by babies? They see it and they're latching on like nobody's business. You're trying to sing watermelon, whatever it is, and there's a baby on your head ruining your concert.
Ravaged by babies, ironically enough, the title of Harry Styles' next album. The satirical cartoon this week is the stressful American politics of recently passed Thanksgiving being given a Fast and the Furious Noz boost by the introduction of weight loss drug Ozempic. A huge amount of hand-wringing in America about the impact of Ozempic on Thanksgiving dinners, just in case you're worried.
That's hilarious.
About how stressful it is.
What's Ozempic? Oh, is that a weight? That's the thing you put in there and it makes your appetite go down.
Yeah, yeah. It's the diabetes drug that people are using off-label to lose weight in huge right. chunks. I assume it doesn't come off in chunks.
I presume it does. They carve you like a turkey, you know? It's just gone every week.
Let's jump into our top story this week. Top story is 2016 hipster paradise news, I guess, which is the news that Australian scientists in pursuit of the Movember fundraising for men's mental health initiative have managed to put a teeny tiny moustache on a red blood cell. The tiniest moustache measuring just 5 microns. They've managed to paste it onto a blood cell, presumably for a purpose, to create a moustache so tiny it cannot be seen with the naked eye, which, to be fair, any 13-year-old boy can do with enough effort. Alison Spittle, you've judged a moustache in the past. Can you unpack this one for us?
Yeah, I love it. This is done by some Australian scientists, and it's to advertise that Movember is happening. It's to gain awareness for Movember, as if people aren't aware that Movember is happening. When, you know, there's about 6 different colleagues that are saying, "Don't worry, I'm not growing this mustache for fun. I'm growing this for cancer," and it feels like we give people the chance to be whimsical, but we give them the excuse to be whimsical with their body hair. And that makes me sad, because I think you should just grow a mustache because you want to grow a mustache. And I love the pictures that come with this story. It looks like this red blood cell is in witness protection, you know, and it's wearing a disguise for its own good. Maybe, like, what red blood cells, do they have like natural enemies within? Are they rivals with white blood cells, or do they get along quite well? There's like white blood cells, red blood cells, and plasma. And I don't want to make it like sectarian in your veins, but I wonder, like, how is their relationship, do you know?
You mean sort of West Side Story?
Yes. I would love to see a musical of, I would love to see any red blood cell try and click and go, "Hey, daddy-o," you know? That would be wonderful. But
I think
yeah.
they're probably more friendly colleagues than nemesis.
Nemesis. Okay,
I think if they're nemesis, you're in trouble, basically.
Oh, God, yeah, that's a disease. That's a form of disease that no one's going to come out well out of that.
I don't know. I'd like to see an autoimmune version of West Side Story. I think it could be...
Hey, look, it's cancer. I thought I told you to get out of here 10 years ago. Well, I'm back, baby, you know? That's very sad, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very sad. I don't know. I agree with Alison on the Movember thing. I think it's, and as somebody who often has a moustache, I feel like Movember is the coward's excuse for it. Just grow the thing. Don't take this pretense of charity to do what you want to do anything. It's a bit like a smaller version of when people go off to walk the Great Wall of China but raise lots of money for a charity while they're doing it. No, you just wanted to do something unpleasant for sponsorship. Don't do something that you wanted to do anyway, but you're looking for an excuse. And that's my angry. My other point is, why are scientists doing this? There's lots of other science which would be much more helpful than to raise awareness by making something that cannot even be seen.
But that feels like 75% of all gargle stories is, sure, why are scientists doing this when...
Yeah, but there's not going to be... Imagine if... I don't think... There's always the chance of like an accidental breakthrough that they go, "Oh, wow, this applies to this." We're not going to get like... There's no world in which trying to put a tiny moustache on a red blood cell through a series of improbable occurrences ends up with climate change being fixed. it sounds like a decent screenplay.
It does sound like the beginning of an upbeat, updated Jekyll and Hyde story where someone gets injected with the tiny moustache and it starts manifesting. I feel like growing a moustache for men's mental health awareness is a really lovely and laudable thing for people to do this month, though I would say if you grow startling enough facial hair at any time of year, it will raise awareness of men's mental health.
I'm just looking at this blood cell again. the moustache is not that it's exactly the moustache of Julius Pringles, the the Pringles logo man. This is an origin story for Julius Pringles. This is, the scientists go in, they put a moustache and red blood cell, and then a crisp pushing, or a crisp like object pushing circle goes wild. Yeah.
Well, that's what they say about arterial blood. Once you pop, you can't stop. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by not believing in ghosts. If you're watching a spooky movie alone at night in a dark house and your light bulb flickers, try not believing in ghosts. If you feel the touch of phantom fingers on your ankles as you take a totally sensible late-night shortcut through a deconsecrated graveyard, try not believing in ghosts. If you see mysterious messages traced in mist on your bedroom mirror that you brought at a haunted op shop while the face of your long-dead great-grandmother mouths the words to her favourite song and the radio slowly plays an off-key version of 30s jazz, try really, really, really hard not believing in ghosts. Not believing in ghosts, the only proven tactic to keep ghosts away. If you're unwell or tired or pregnant, try sustaining yourself with small, nutrient-dense meals such as soups and sustaining broths. If the broth is too salty, try adding half a glass of water. Hey. Half a glass of water. Sometimes half a glass less salty is half a glass more soup. A small town. It's the sort of place no one ever gets murdered. A horrible murder. It was the most horrible murder I've ever seen, and I'm a professional murder lookerer. A modern whodunit. We have no idea who done it. A journalist who's in too deep. Nobody here knows that I'm actually the murderer. The new true crime podcast from Cash Grab Network. True Crime, Active Crime Scene.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In other advertising news, this is the news that Meta, ex-Facebook, but not ex, apparently has been accused of designing its platform to get children and teens addicted to it. Ironically enough, given that Facebook is now populated mainly by the over-50s crowd. But, John-Luke Roberts, you've had an argument with an angry uncle on Facebook before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes. So, well... That, I mean, you just did, didn't you? They've their court documents allege that Meta has not been sufficiently throwing children off its platform who aren't allowed to be on its platform, and even worse, have been designing the whole thing to make children addicted to it anyway. Now, we know that they've been designing it to make adults addicted to it. I know that because I looked at my phone 30 times in the last 5 minutes we've been recording. Just scrolling down and down and down for no good reason, and a tiny little boost of, oh, somebody liked that thing I did. So that's, this is a story. Meta say they're not doing that, but that's what Meta would say anyway. And my uncle actually isn't on Facebook because he's not that kind of uncle. He's a nice staid uncle who stays at home and reads books. And the internet, I think, is still a mystery to him.
The best kind of uncle, as we're all rapidly discovering.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Now my brother, don't get me started on him. He called Tony Blair a Trotskyite the other day, which was just blew my mind. Wow. Anyway, I know. Where'd you go from there? How do you carry on? He thinks that capitalism
would
be the...
Ring the politics bell, Pet.
He thinks that... He thinks capitalism is the solution to things, or would be if anyone had ever tried it.
Wow. Yeah. We should really give it a go.
Yeah, maybe. You know? Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe that's what we should do.
My favourite bit about the story is that it's an open secret. They refer to this as an open secret of underage people. And I read that headline, and this is the best story that's ever come after that headline. Like, I was so afraid of what was going to happen next. But, yeah, it's just basically gone. That Meta are a bit sneaky. And I'm very happy that I didn't have Facebook as a teenager. But I did have a bit of social media. I had Bebo, and I had MySpace. Now, Bebo kind of definitely destroyed my brain in regards to, you had to pick 16 top friends. And I would look through all the kids in my school, and if I wasn't in their top friends, I would make a massive effort to befriend them, then get in their top friends, and then drop them like a hot shit and move on to the next person. I was an absolute friend slut back in the day. I just wanted to be liked. And comedy is really helpful with that personality trait of mine. really cured myself from that. But yeah, it basically, why are we always, I don't think we're surprised, but it's funny that Meta are still in somewhat, given they're denying it, and it's like, we know anecdotally, and now we know, like, from actual evidence of you, that you are doing stuff that wrecks children's brains.
I mean, most apps nowadays are designed to essentially be pokey machines, to just hit that dopamine reward system. Even the scrolling thing is meant to give you a kind of a feeling that you're gambling. Mm. And I think the most sort of telling thing is that almost every tech executive doesn't let their children use it. So,
yes, that's a big thing. I wonder, do people who invented vapes and the vape industry let children... It feels like we are allowing our children to be damaged for capitalism, whether it be vaping or with social media. We know it's bad, but the kids are addicted to it and want it, and we give it to them rather than, like, have it. Well, I don't know. I don't have kids, so I can't be talking like this.
Well, Meta made a statement about this, saying it favours shifting the burden of policing underage usage to app stores and parents, and that things like Google and Apple would have to obtain parental approval whenever youths under 16 download apps, which sounds like a 5-minute challenge for youths under 16 who have been definitely faking their parents' signature on report cards for the last 5 years.
Oh, I had a full-on period for 2 years when I didn't need to, when I was getting off PE, my mum was signing a little slip to say that I was menstruating at the time. Probably the Guinness Book of Records for the longest ever menstruation, because it was just for a full 2 years. So I feel like I feel like allowing kids to get around their parents is just a cool challenge.
Gosh, Alison, the number of tiny moustaches which could have found a home in those 2 years.
I know, they're just dead. They're just... it's like a barber's floor, so it is just full of moustaches.
Yeah, I know someone whose parents involuntarily taught him lock picking by putting increasingly elaborate locks on the basement where they kept the stuff that he wanted to get at. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, I remember one time, like, no one drank gin in my house, and then my aunt came round, and she poured out a bit of gin. She's like, that is water. And that was because I kept stealing the gin as a teenager and filling it up with water. And, I just pretended I pretended I was a reverse Jesus. I was like, you know.
And that brings us to our reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Alison Spittle, what have you brought in for us this week?
So I am reviewing this is a coaster that has 2 naked people on it. I don't know where it's come from. It's just in my house. I don't know where it is. So I'm reviewing it. It's a very good coaster. It kind of, listen to this, solid, keeps the heat off a table. But to talk through the picture itself, the male has socks on and the woman character doesn't have socks on. It makes me feel a bit happy. Arousal, not much, to be honest with you, but I don't know what the aim of this coaster is. So I'm going to give it... what do you think their names would be if you were to name these two people, Alice?
Well, first of all, to be specific, they're two naked people facing the viewer, and they appear to be either protecting each other's modesty or fingering each other.
Why not both?
The encounter in two way.
And I just, I'm going to go Paul and Becky Ann. That's what I think they're called. And yeah, they're covering each other up. It's very cute. I presume it belongs to my flatmate. I hope it does, because he's the only person I live with. And if he doesn't own them, I don't know how they got into the house. But I'll find out for next time I'm on.
How many stars?
4 for cuteness out of 5.
John Luke, what have you brought in for us this week?
In preparation for this session, last night I was looking through my notebooks thinking, well, what can I review? What do I have opinions on? And I've decided instead to review my notebook keeping practices, because my notebooks are where I keep my jokes. They have ideas about things like, I've got an idea about not being able to meet a very tall person without telling them they're tall. That's a reasonable idea. You could stretch that out to a, you know, but I'm not going to do that. The problem is, as I've been looking through this, I don't want to do the tall thing tomorrow. I don't want to do the thing about portaloos because I've done that before. Oh, what about the word crisps? That has piss in it, but we just go on as if it's normal. But the problem is, as I'm looking through this and going, what fits a review thing? I keep my journal in the same book as my notes. And so I've been going through this and being hit regularly as I'm stumbling over my comic things by the various emotionally unpleasant things which have happened to me over the last couple of years. So there's basically, I'm looking, oh, is that funny? It's very hard to tell if something's funny when you're immediately hit by the grief of a divorce just one page afterwards. So I would like to, basically, this is a self-reflexive review, and I would like to review my notebook keeping, and I give it 1 star. I need to separate these things out, put them in different places, so that in the future I can be the hilarious ball of bonhomie that I'm meant to be.
It was 1 star, wasn't it?
1 star, yeah, 1 star. Well, I don't know. Artistically, I think 6 stars, maybe. I think there's a beauty in there from the way that those things are put in contrast with each other and the things it can throw up. But I don't like it on a personal level.
Artistically, it's shades of light and darkness interspersed seemingly at random. But actually, if you examine them, there's a deep underlying thread of commonality.
Just like life itself. My notebooks hold a mirror up to life. As all art should. Oh, you've really brought me round. I think they're great.
And in underage smell news now, the worst way I can introduce this story. Fashion house Dior has released a bottle of scented water for babies that is going to cost $230, which is significantly more expensive than Dior's best-selling fragrances for adults. You know, I love the smell of a baby. Alison Spittle, you also enjoy the smell of a baby. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, I was like, I think this is one of the stories that filled me most with rage, because we must have had this conversation several times before. I'm probably not going to have kids, right? But there's nothing I love more than the smell of a baby's head. Like, genuinely, a smell of a baby's head for me is like wet earth in the sun, you know? Like, just one of those great smells that you can never recreate.
Also, the pliability of a baby's head.
It's like wet earth. I just love kissing wet earth. Just, it's one of those smells that is the most incredible smells in the world. And I just can't believe that Dior would make a better smell than the top of a baby's head. They've described the bouquet, and I think it's got like, there was like smells of pear in this new baby water smell. I don't want my baby to smell like a pear, you know? I want my baby to smell like old milk and human skin, because that's what, isn't that the combo? What would you describe the bouquet of a baby's head to be like?
There's nothing that it smells like other than itself. I feel like you could sell the smell of a baby to someone else, but trying to make your baby smell not like a baby is a bad move, because there's nothing that smells better than a baby in its own particularly, because it has that thing, that kind of controversial edge to it, like a truffle or something, where it is in objectively sort of disgusting, but nonetheless impossible to turn away from. Yeah, I always used to resent when I would introduce people to my baby and they'd be wearing a strong perfume and they'd cuddle my baby and give me back my baby smelling of their horrible perfume instead of its babiness.
I think you're right. I think a baby's head smells slightly like cheese. Do you know what I mean? Imagine getting a perfume that smelled like a baby. I would wear it, but I'd be weirded out by the people that were attracted to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think people wear perfume. There's two reasons. And it's like either sex, because they want, not that everything's for sex, but they want to smell attractive, right? And the other reason people smell or wear perfume is to cover up
throw
other
off
smells.
The scent of the bloodhounds. What?
Yes, that's big time. But like, you don't need to do that to a baby. And it's baby water, isn't it? So I presume you're bathing the baby in this kind of perfume stuff. That's the vibe it's given. Or is it just you're spritzing your baby?
I think it's water just because there's no alcohol in it, because they don't want to put alcohol in a baby perfume.
That's fair. Although, because they took alcohol out of like a colic medicine. Now, my mum had I don't know why, because I'm the oldest child, but I used to babysit from a very young age with very young babies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you reverse babysat, and like as a 2-year-old, you were looking after your 10-year-old siblings.
Imagine that, yeah. But like, I changed my sister's first nappy, and have you ever changed a first nappy? Is like, it's crazy because you expect like a little baby shit. I don't know, like a little poo emoji, but it comes out like mint sauce, and it was just so that was crazy to me. That it would be so green. And then I'm like, well,
You meant the colour. I was just checking. You meant the colour, not the smell.
The first, so as a sidebar for people who are interested, what happens is when a baby, babies don't have any fat, they start with fur. They have like little hairs all over their bodies. And then as they grow fat in the womb, they shed all of their hair. And then they practice like breathing and eating by eating all the hair. And so their first poo is made up of this like horrific slurry. And after that, baby poo becomes remarkably inoffensive until they start solid food, because it is essentially just
milk
cheese that was
it's human cheese. That's what they name baby bells. They're harvesting.
I think it comes out of wax wrapped pellets.
If I was the ad department for Baby Bell 2, I wouldn't lean into that angle. The thing is, what you've described, if the smell of the baby is naturally like attractive, and obviously that makes sense, that there's evolutionary ways to have, like, to protect your baby. If actually this may be a safety measure to disguise the smell so nobody takes your baby to smell it. So you get to keep your baby because they think, oh no, that's just a pear. There's no need in taking those. I can get one of those at the supermarket. So I actually think...
It's just an expensive handbag.
Yeah.
Is that Dior?
So what Dior are doing is a public good. And actually, $2,000 to $230 to keep your baby, I think that's a great deal.
It's like a ransom, isn't it? Yeah, it prevents you. Apparently, though, they are upset over this, like scientists, because it could prevent you from bonding with your own baby. Because the whole, you're so right, John, about like how humans have been made. That they make the smell of a baby good, because babies cry a lot, and like you go, oh, fuck off, baby, but then you smell it and you're like, oh, all is forgiven, you know. And I hate the idea of you not being able to bond with your baby because it smells like Dior. I have that problem just with people who smell like Dupe or Davidoff Cool Water. Sorry to any listeners who wear that, but I get triggered by the smell of Dupe, and not any terrible memories with it, but I can smell it on the tube sometimes, and I'm like, is this a 16-year-old boy from Ireland? Like, who is on this tube that's wearing Dupe? It just feels wrong.
Would the reverse mechanism work? So that if a baby, instead of screaming, the baby is very, very smelly, but it's mercifully silent. Like, would that also be a way of You know, would that be a way for a baby to survive? Would that be a way?
Or if the baby started doing jokes or something, or little compliments, you know, like a three, you pick up the 3-month-old baby and it's like, you're capable of love.
You see, the affirmations from a baby. I think a baby doing jokes would just get right up my nose. The precociousness of that. Is it precociousness? Gosh, I'm 30. I bet a precocious baby could say the right word for precocious.
I wonder what types of jokes a baby would do. I'm trying to think of like a baby style joke. It's like peekaboo. Where is that guy?
I mean, my daughter's first joke was, is it a hat? It's not a hat. Which, I mean, obviously she didn't have the words for that because this was pre-words, but it was a pretty funny joke.
No, that's cool.
It's not a hat.
I've spent quite a lot of money training at clown school, and many people have never gone up to that level, I think.
Well, sorry, to clarify for the listener who isn't watching this on YouTube, for the premise of the joke to work, the thing that she's using as a hat can't be a hat. Just want to make it clear.
Oh, well, no, until you get meta. I think a little bit down the line, you could start to introduce hats. And then the joke would be that, no, it is a hat, but I'm saying it's not a hat.
Mm. Or a drawing of a hat.
Drawing a hat would be pretty good.
Oh, very French.
Ceci n'est pas un chapeau.
I would literally watch that in a Fringe show, though. You were describing something.
I literally have.
And in friendship news now, the news that China is in a friendship recession, and there are various people trying to remedy / benefit from that problem. Jean-Luc, you understand recessions. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, so you say I understand recessions rather than understand friendship, so that's telling. The thing which is really struck, I mean, I think this is a study done by a social media app called Soul, which they've done to try and say that they are they can help, which seems to me, as we've sort of proven, the opposite of what social media does, but that they can deal with the friendship recession by helping you make imaginary friends. Imaginary friends has never been the problem, right? In fact, that is part of the friendship recession. Although actually, if we should deal with friendship in purely economic terms, as like talking about them as recessions, maybe this is the right way, because money's kind of imaginary too. So we can just go completely down to, if we treat friendship like capitalism, we've got it solved. You don't need the chicken itself, you just need the coin that represents the chicken. You don't need the friend, you just need the little picture of a friend, and then you can sort this out. Maybe we'll have friendship inflation, where everyone has really, really big friends.
I mean, this... The picture of the friend is a relevant thing, because one of the ways in which this app Soul is trying to pursue genuineness is by having its members interact under avatars rather than their real pictures, on the premise that the more fakely you represent yourself, the more truly you'll actually inhabit yourself.
Well, I think actually this is it's the philosophy of Batman Forever, when there's an awful lot of time given over to the idea of wearing a mask revealing your true self. So Soul have just picked up on that.
It's such a weird thing, this avatar, because they're described, when you talk about the relationship between capitalism and friendship, because they have like almost like sponsored avatar packages from companies, and they say this is to forge a deeper connection, for brands to forge a deeper connection with people, which is a weird thing to want. Like, I don't want my brand to forge a deeper connection with me. And they have like companies like Chevrolet, who then sponsor avatar packs where you can pick like hair inspired by Chevrolet, or glasses, or accessories. And then there's all these other different companies, and I was thinking of like, what company would I like to represent me as an avatar and to forge a deeper connection with? And I think that would be the chocolate brand M&M, and the M&M store to sponsor some avatar packs for me, because I quite like the green M&M. I think she's a sexy lady, and if I was to misrepresent myself, I mean, I must have done this when I was a teenager. I used to misrepresent myself all the time on the internet. I used to go in chat rooms And he used to always be ASL 16, female, California. And I'd be like 12, living in the middle of Ireland. But I felt like that was
That's closer to honest than I was. I was like 63, living in Minnesota. I was always like a discontented housewife.
But I love that. I love that because you were 63. So did you have to like, did people ask you questions about your life and you had to like, answer it as what you thought a 63-year-old.
Yeah, I just give sort of benevolent advice to people who are trying to have cyber sex with each other.
You see,
you'd be like, I hope you use protection, some yeah. cyber protection from them.
Don't jump like, into anything too quickly.
Oh my God. That's wonderful. I used to go in this vampire chat room a lot as a teenager, and people used to really build up incredible worlds. When I look at it, you know, like instead the intro would be like a vampire walks into the tavern and puts down his coat and looks around. It's this incredible 3-paragraph intro, and then I would come in as like clown car on fire 69, and I would pretend to be a vehicle that's on fire in the bar, and I'd be like the flames, and they would always try and kill me. They would, because I'd be annoying. I'd be like, I've got a force field. You can't throw me out, until the moderators would throw me out. But I had a great time. That's what I used to do. It was a definite kind of cry for help from me. Like,
well, to be fair, a flaming vehicle has just as much right to be in a tavern as a vampire. I mean, what's that vampire drinking in there? Beer? It's ridiculous. Go to a blood bank. That's where the vampire should be. You did that world a service by making it at least slightly realistic.
Yeah, just and also I have to wait to be invited in like a vampire. You know, you're like, come in, flaming vehicle. But yeah, that was the thing I used to do. It was good fun. I love this story because it kind of reminded me of it's almost like aspects of the internet in the late 90s, early 2000s that I really enjoyed, you know, this whole avatar thing. This feels like a very early 2000s idea to represent yourself virtually.
Second Life. One of the most menacing things about this article is Souls, the app Souls attempt at monetization, mentioning, among other things, that Gen Z consumers crave active involvement rather than passive consumption, which feels to me like the first of 3 steps that end with people having to do their own advertising to themselves, like the way you now have to beep your own stuff going through the checkout. Why would I like this brand? What's good about Coca-Cola? And then you have to do the work and make yourself wanted.
But it's like some advertisements, especially on the tube now, is very much like, it'll go like, you're working 12 hours a day, why not get a takeaway? And it just feels like you're basically on, life is shit, why not get a takeaway to keep yourself from going over the edge?
Just try and feel if any single one of your red blood cells has a tiny moustache on it.
Yeah.
I just feel like this is the real last straw for all of those girls in like 2016 who got a tiny moustache tattooed on the inside of their index finger.
My friend has a tiny moustache and then another finger that says YOLO. So when she goes like this, it has a moustache here and then YOLO here. So it kind of helps when she poses like that. She has a house now. She has a mortgage and a house. And fair play to her. Yeah. Fiona Frawley, I'll give you a call out there. Great comedian and great tattoos.
And that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. John Luke Roberts, have you got anything to plug?
Well, if you're in London, I am hosting my hopefully annual Christmas gig as Geoffrey Chaucer, the medieval poot, on the 17th of December at 21 Soho. And who's on that? Rosie Jones, Huge Davies, Frankie Thompson, Ella the Great, and Christian Brighty. And maybe a secret Christmas visitor. Ho, ho, ho. His father will have Father Christmas there. Father Christmas is going to be there. Also, my podcast Soundteep is coming back in the new year.
We'll announce that
shortly. That's the podcast of too many podcasts. I'm very happy about that. and looking for that. We'll be launching in February.
If you're in London, I highly recommend going to this Christmas show. If you have not seen Chaucer doing his thing, you will have missed an enormous amount of penis.
Well, it's not real. Penis. It's not. I just need to say it's not a real penis. It's made of modelling balloons, and I'm sort of offended that people think it's a real penis. Uninflated modelling balloons. I mean, come on, guys.
Alison, have you got anything to plug?
Yes. So my play Glacier starts in the Old Fire Station in Oxford next Monday. So if you come on the Monday, the Wednesday or the Friday, say hello because I'm going to be there because I'm a freak who likes to watch my own plays. And then I got a tour that's coming up called Soup. That's on in the new year. If you go to my Instagram or my website, alisonspill.com, you'll find all information. And also, Soho Theatre have just announced I'm doing a run in March. So please come along to that. And I'm also, this is out on the Friday, go watch me on House of Games and see how it all ends. And I'll talk about it when I'm back on the podcast. And I can be free to talk about it.
I can't wait. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser, one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, my weekly salons, and my now twice-weekly writers' meetings. If you're working on something, if you have any creative urges, we come along, we write together, then we do a bit of a workshop. If you feel like sharing or if you feel like hiding, we're all very welcome. At the moment, you get access to all of that for $1 a month. Please get on board that before I start to get more organized and charge more money. Also, my show Twists and Kronos, my two solo shows of the last 2 years, will be out before Christmas with Go Faster Stripe, and also available on my Patreon there. So that's quite an exciting thing if you like my stand-up comedy. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.